Father, thank you. We do approach you with this praise for Jenny. And we pray that that sleep would continue happening. Father, when we just follow your admonition, forgiveness is one of those. It makes a difference in us emotionally, physically, spiritually. Help us to pay attention. Father, I want to pray ahead of time too with her family here that this new well that we're punching in here soon would be good water. Father, that we can abandon that organic iron that we have to continually deal with and clean the well so many times a year. Lord, may this be good volume, good quality water. And Father, I do pray for all of the logistics that have to be done in the hours to come right after our service, that everything would flow well so that that big event, Lord, that wedding would go well this afternoon and be an honor to these families and to you especially. Thanks for each participant. But I do pray for the bride and groom right now, Lord, in this day that can be kind of topsy-turvy in their emotions. Lord, would be just focused on you and your gift of marriage. Thank you, Lord. So bless now as we open your scripture. We want you, Lord, to teach us. We want you to take that front row seat in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got a couple of guys. Michael is going to be coming back to do some more teaching out of 1 Peter soon. And David's working on another one out of 2 Peter, I think. But I don't know that for sure, so you can grill him later. Take a teaching this morning that you're going to find it in Genesis. Chapters 1 and 2. Common ground for many of us. And I'm going to be approaching it somewhat philosophically, in a sense, just trying to answer a question that a friend of mine in France, Patrick, asked me about 6 weeks ago. He is not a believer in Jesus. He's at a place of recognizing there must be something there, but he has not identified that something that we would call God, and he might call it God in that conversation. But he asked, so what is sin? And most of us have our little Sunday school answer. Well, sin is stealing, lying, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, those qualify for sure, but that's not what he's asking. He's going deeper. And how is it that we have that before we ever do something that's wrong? Again, there's Sunday school answers that are sometimes a little too simple to ask those that go real deep in the thinking. I replied to him. It was a lengthy letter. I'm not sure he's finished it yet. He hasn't got back to me, so we're waiting to see on that one. But it led me into Genesis chapters 2 and 3. And I want to go through these with you. And I want to look at the gospel in Genesis 2 and 3. In Genesis 2, well, back in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Our image, the triune Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. According to our likeness, And it does not mean that he is, you know, 5 foot four up to 6 foot eight that we have, you know, in this congregation. It's not a thing with chin and nose and a beard. It's not that. Something about man was different than all other created beings. And it was according to God in his likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, distinctly. He created them. He blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Go in chapter 2 with me. Verse 8, then the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden. And there he placed the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God caused to grow every tree that is pleasing to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Go down to verse 16, chapter 2. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. And then the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper corresponding to him, like him. And so that of the creating of the woman and bringing her to the man. They are together, verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. In the book of Revelation, we clearly have that serpent identified. That serpent is the same as the one called the devil, that is Satan himself, also called the dragon. I mean, a number of labels attached to him. That's who this is. At some point earlier than this, he rebelled with some of the other angelic beings in heaven and was cast down. We don't have much detail in our Bible about that. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? Just a slight little tweak on what God had said. That's all it took. The woman made the mistake of negotiating with him. The woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it nor touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. He may have been standing right beside her during this time. Then the eyes of both of them, it sounds like immediately, were opened. And they knew that they were naked. There was nothing wrong with that. But now there's something. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Not in a hide-and-seek fashion, but more, what happened? What happened? Where'd you go? He said, "I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself, not wanting God to see his nakedness." God who created his nakedness. But now something is broken, and it has caused shame to set in. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, you gave her to me. She gave me from the tree and I ate." So blame God first, the woman second. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go. Dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed, and he shall crush you on the head, you shall bruise him on the heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you shall bring forth children, yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And then to Adam he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, saying you shall not eat from it, cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now the man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all the living. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed him. I had one guy who was always looking for loopholes 38 years ago, right here in Tacoma, who said, "Well, they didn't have skin before. Now God put skin on them." No, it was a garment of skin to cover their skin. Crazy. Anyway, you can make the Bible say what you want it to say. Just try a little bit, you know, but it's God's not going to stand behind it. Anyway, then the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, knowing good and evil. And now, lest he stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever." The sentence trails off. "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. So he drove the man out, and at the east of the garden of Eden he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life." One of the false religions out there in our culture labels Satan out of Ezekiel 28 as one of the covering cherubim. But if you are a little bit more careful in your reading here, you'll see that he had already rebelled before God set up the covering cherubim. Okay, throw that out the window. God did something here. So, back in chapter 3, verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You shall surely not die. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Verse 22, "And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." Exactly what Satan said, with some missing elements. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Like us, as God said, like us, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with a significant difference. God is intrinsically good. Man is not. For God to know good and evil speaks about his omniscience, but more. He is above the impact and control of evil, but man is not. Adam and Eve were not created to be in the place of being above evil, nor beyond evil's ability to have power over them. The word knowing, knowing good and evil, is more than information. It is used when a man and a woman engage sexually. Adam knew his wife, and here's the child. It is an intimate relationship more than head knowledge. So after Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, they sinned in doing so. Now they knew evil intimately, but had no power over it. It would take full control over them if God did not intervene. In contrast, Satan also knew evil intimately. He knew it permanently, with no hope, nor did he want help or hope. Satan will live forever in the intrinsic place of being evil. He only knows good as good comes from God to overcome evil and wickedness, and Satan hates that. The middle ground where Adam and Eve ended up was knowing good intimately because the good God had been intimate with them. They had walked in the garden with him. Where are you, Adam? But now they knew evil also intimately. Because they chose to disobey the command of God, they became independent of the good God. Still having the intimate fellowship with goodness in mind, they knew his voice still. But now evil had also been opened up to them. However, they were not equipped to handle that evil on their own. But they certainly were on their own. That's our setup. Genesis 3:22. Let me read that again. "Then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now lest he stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden." God's first act to rescue these made in the image of God creatures, was to extend harsh mercy to them. Harsh because they had to dwell outside of perfection now, that Garden of Eden. But mercy. Mercy because God prevented them from living forever in that helpless condition. Sending them out of the Garden of Eden, away from the tree of life, was a love act. Knowing what he would do to rescue these creatures, along with many of their offspring. Hallelujah for that. He clothed them with the skin of an animal, which meant an animal had to die. The first physical death now occurred to cover the first spiritual death. The first physical death was not when their son Cain killed their son Abel. God did this. God did this before he expelled them from the garden, which may be a picture of his protection before they experienced the thorns, thistles, and death. Now they were equipped, but differently. The payment for sin had been taken care of by God, and later, and at the perfect time, they would be fully paid for by God himself as he became a man and to die for our sin in the person of our Lord Jesus. These two no longer had peace with God. Along with thorns, thistles, and death was the realization that they were separated from God and could only approach him in the very strict manner that he set up. But in chapter 4, Cain became the first example of man trying to approach God from his own inventions, which is religion itself. God set up the strict manner that we could approach him, and Cain had a better idea, as does every religion on the face of this planet in all of history. Approaching God from our own inventions. I'm going to take a little pause. Ask you for interaction. What thoughts are going on so far in your minds? We have a lot of missing information.
We do.
And for us to cast a judgment, yeah, that's a little unfair.
Something in this fruit.
Something to do with that. God being omniscient, if he didn't know, he wasn't God. Yet he was not controlled by it. It didn't impact him. He was above it. As God creator, he knew all that there is. That would be good and evil, is how I see it. And I've pondered the same thing, Dave. How does that fit in? When Satan said, "You shall surely not die," which you is he talking about? The spirit you or the physical you? The physical you didn't drop over, but death set in. The spirit died, separated from God. And it was God himself who rescued that spirit or offered the rescue. Yes, it is passed on. She was the mother of all the living. Acts 17, Paul quotes it again. All humanity came from grandma and grandpa, Adam and Eve. And it's kind of interesting. I won't go there. That Adam and Eve, unlike all your Sunday school pictures, were probably not Caucasian. Most likely, they were black, because Caucasian never turns to black, but black can come to Caucasian. Interesting. I've got a book on black people in our Bible. It's very interesting. So anyway, that's just a total side note. Okay?
My question too is, why didn't Adam tell her, no, don't do that?
We have no answer.
Look, I mean, he was standing right there and he heard the same thing.
We have no answer.
I always, when it talks about evil, I see it totally different from wickedness. Like, God hates wickedness, but he'll repent of the evil he was going to do. Yeah. The bad thing that, you know, the judgment.
But see, the use of that King James word, repent, we can't apply the same understanding we have as it's relent or stop or change, have a change of mind. It isn't God saying, oh, that was a bad idea, I'm going to change my mind. It's man that changes, so God relents. He pulls back, which is an act of mercy. Marcy?
So can I introduce another side?
No. Okay.
Because I kind of got stuck at man being driven out of the garden and the garden being guarded now. So where is it? And does it really exist in the physical anymore? And if it does, why can't we see it?
Mm-hmm. I have a basic answer.
Okay. One step further here. If this is symbolic, mm-hmm. I wonder if it is symbolic and if the whole story isn't symbolic.
Okay.
Where I come from, it is symbolic.
Yep, that's a legitimate question. I take it literal. And just three chapters later, we have a flood that is promised because of the wickedness, and it covered the earth. I have no problem with it not existing here now. The flood did a lot of things. And I am one that believes that it also took out the Garden of Eden.
Is so, that ever addressed anymore?
No. No. It is addressed about Satan, describing him. You were back in the garden at your beginning. Satan has been around a long, long time. But the garden no longer exists. Okay, Rod.
I get hung up once in a while. What was the purpose of the tree? I mean,
yeah.
Had it not been the tree, I'm sure there would be something else that Satan would use.
And I philosophically must say, the Bible doesn't say what it was or why it was there. I have to approach it and say, huh, let me scratch my head. Seems to me that if these are creatures that choose to follow God and there wasn't another option, there would be a problem. They're forced to follow God. Here's another option. It's kind of a simplistic answer, but it seems that God had set this up. God knows all. Going to display his grace, his mercy, his creativity, his wonder to the angelic world and all created beings, God sovereignly put this there.
That's the start point of that.
His is not from an act of evil,
right,
whereas ours is.
Right.
So, a couple of things further, and then I'm going to bring it to a close. Where do you see the tree of life next? With him. And who is partaking of it? Interesting. It kind of is the bookends. The bookends to the whole thing. God is the one that wants us to eat of that tree of life, to live forever, but not in the condition of hopelessness. Another one, and this one is just a cheapie for you, okay? Side note, absolutely. But it's interesting to me that man continually tries to improve his environment, making it more productive with less work. But the end result is always more brokenness. And I've just jotted here, whether pesticides, herbicides to get rid of thorns and thistles and those nasty bugs, the fertilizers that we use, or the control of production, the end result is more brokenness, We've still got the thorns and the thistles. And we don't want to work of the sweat of our brow. Huh. We're still trying to fix it. The thorns and thistles are here to stay until God removes that curse. And yet, through it all, our good, merciful God is still there for us. The Bible talks about when that curse will be removed. Looking forward to that. Total side note, I am not going to be in a place of supporting this movement or that movement or whatever about this topic. Just putting it out there. Evidence that the curse is on. And here's where it began. Sin began. It was in me. That is why I chose to do that first disobedient thing. As I told my friend Patrick, there's not a parent that has to teach his child to kick or hit his sibling, or lie, or steal the cookie. It is always training to not do those things. Why? Because there is something in us, like we're told in the scripture, that passes on. And God is our solution. And parents have the objective right of training. And once I have my kids, I'm going to have perfect kids. They're not going to be like your kids.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. And we can look at that and say, thank you, God, for being the solution. Okay. I think we're about done.
Years.
And I've titled this The Gospel in Genesis for this reason, that God gave the solution that pointed to the biggest solution, the permanent solution, that's the Lord Jesus himself. Thank you, Lord. I like your Bible. I appreciate what you have revealed to us that answers so many questions. Father, help us. Guide us in it. So that we're not trying to fix you, thinking that you're broken, but submitting to you, Lord, as the perfect one. Thank you, Lord. We love you. Thank you for rescue that you've given to us or offered to us. Be glorified as we move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go take a look at Aaron's display and...